It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
We begin today with breaking news. Reports of an explosion outside of the Kabul airport. After U.S. diplomats there continued warning American citizens to immediately leave the gates around the airport because of what one U.S. official called a, quote, very specific threat stream from a branch of ISIS, the airport was indeed hit. A Pentagon spokesman said that two explosions near the airport's Abbey Gate resulted in both U.S. and civilian deaths. Authorities now say about 1,500 American citizens remain in Afghanistan, and the U.S. government is working to evacuate everyone seeking to leave before the August 31st deadline for the withdrawal of U.S. troops. So far, we're told, more than 4,500 U.S. citizens had been flown out of Afghanistan. U.S. and allied planes flew 19,200 people out of Kabul in the last day alone, and more than 10,000 others were at the airport awaiting flights. European leaders warned that the airport was no longer safe. A British official said there had been, quote, very, very credible reports of an imminent attack there, possibly within hours, and now we saw that it has happened. As of Thursday morning, the White House says that since the end of July, we have relocated approximately 101,300 people. While the media is busy pointing fingers and placing blame, let me throw this out there. Donald Trump's former aide, Stephen Miller, spent 4 years pushing restrictive immigration policies, and he was instrumental in slowing down the processing of special immigrant visas for those Afghan interpreters, embassy staff, and the others who are now top targets for Taliban retaliation. So if you want to place blame, start there. Now, Nancy Pelosi and other members of Congress on both sides of the aisle are criticizing two congressmen, Peter Mayer of Michigan and Seth Moulton of Massachusetts, for making a secret trip to Afghanistan. They claim it was to observe the chaotic evacuation effort that followed the Taliban's takeover of the country and provide oversight. What? Pelosi said she found out about the trip on Tuesday, but didn't say anything to avoid endangering their safety. But she did say, quote, this is deadly serious. House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy told Fox News that the trip, quote, put people in jeopardy, though he said he understood why they went. One thing that I'm not seeing mentioned in the media reports is that when they returned, both the Republican mayor and the Democrat, Moulton, said that the trip had changed their minds, and both now agreed with the Biden administration that they should stick to the August 31st deadline. In an interview with the New York Times, Moulton said, quote, almost every veteran in Congress wants to extend the deadline, including us, and our opinion on that was changed on the ground because we started the evacuation so late. There's no way we can get everyone out even by September 11th, so we need to have a working relationship with the Taliban after our departure, and the only way to achieve that is to leave by August 31st. Moving on, Texas Governor Greg Abbott on Wednesday issued an executive order banning COVID-19 vaccine mandates, regardless of a vaccine's FDA approval status. This new executive order came the day after the Pfizer vaccine received full FDA approval. Just amazing. In other news, the House Select Committee investigating the January 6th attack on the Capitol made some broad requests for federal agency records on Wednesday. The chair, Congressman Benny Thompson, sent letters demanding materials pertaining to the insurrection and to Trump's attempts to reverse his election loss to President Biden. Thompson demanded that agencies hand over documents covering such matters as the former president's knowledge of the election results and what he communicated to the American people about the election. The requests cover communications related to the former guy's family members and any communications between Trump or his allies, and, quote, any DOJ official in the days right before and after January 6th. Of course, Trump is reacting by saying executive privilege. So much for the most transparent president in history. One question is, who's representing Trump as he tries to block the investigation? It can't be any of his former lawyers, because a federal judge ordered sanctions against Sidney Powell, Lynn Wood, and seven other pro-Trump lawyers trying to overturn Michigan's 2020 presidential election results, saying they engaged in, quote, a historic and profound abuse of the judicial process. U.S. District Judge Linda Parker said the lawsuit, quote, was never about fraud. It was about undermining the people's faith in our democracy and debasing the judicial process to do so. She said sanctions against the lawyers who tried to reverse the former guy's election loss were necessary to, quote, deter the filing of future frivolous lawsuits designed primarily to spread the narrative that our election processes are rigged and our democratic institutions cannot be trusted. Good point. Parker, who dismissed the Michigan lawsuit in December, ordered the lawyers to attend ethics classes. Now, regarding that plot to kidnap Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer, a 25-year-old Michigan man, Ty Garbin, who admitted he was part of it, was sentenced on Wednesday to 75 months in prison and fined $2,500. More than a dozen men have already been accused of participating in that plot. Government lawyers said the plotters discussed attacking legislatures at the Michigan State Capitol before shifting to the kidnapping plan. Garbin is the only person to have pleaded guilty to the case, and prosecutors say he's cooperated extensively. Well, this weekend, 58 years after Martin Luther King Jr.'s historic I Have a Dream speech, his son, Martin III, will help lead one of two big voting rights marches in Washington. On Saturday, tens of thousands of protesters are expected to attend the dual events on the National Mall despite the ongoing pandemic. They're demanding Congress pass new voting rights legislation. And finally, if it's Thursday, August 26th, it's Women's Equality Day. Congress designated it as such in 1973 after it was introduced in 1971 by then Congresswoman Bella Abzug of New York. So the date, August 26th, was selected to commemorate the 1920 certification of the 19th Amendment, which finally granted women the right to vote. This was the culmination of a massive, peaceful civil rights movement by women that began in 1948 at the world's first women's rights convention in Seneca Falls, New York. The only problem with Women's Equality Day? We still don't have an equal rights amendment. Just saying. I got the news. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is fully listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.